Welcome to a special edition of MLB Extras. Let's listen in as Rockies manager Bud Black addresses the media from the winter meetings in Las Vegas.
I think very comfortable. We have a lot of guys back from, you know, a team that we feel is very competitive. But I do think that we will, I do think that will not be the case.
Hey, buddy, I read an article the other day. You talking about the JP trade never materialized in the Cubs. You talk about Kevin Towers.
Yes.
Do you like the winter meetings? Do you like to be involved?
In what way? Yes. Yes. I think the winter meetings are, I think, you know, I mean, Tracy could probably speak to this better than me, but I mean, there's a drastic change in the winter meetings now than back in the day, and even the last, I'd say, 5 years. But I still enjoy them. I still think there's a place for a gathering of all of us. I think that, you know, there's a collection of us in the room that offer, you know, different perspectives on, you know, the direction of our team and our roster, you know, big league roster and even what's going on in the minor league. So I think the managers are a part of that collaboration, and I enjoy that. Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I'm concerned about what's going on at the present, right? I think that, you know, where we are as a team takes precedent over anything that might be happening with me. So that's where my focus is. But I'm happy to hear that Jeff thinks there's a good vibe. That's a good thing. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, to Tracy's question, I think that, you know, the roster will look different than how it ended. I think that's just the nature of of going, you know, from 1 year to the next based on, you know, where players are in their careers, where contracts are. So definitely I think we have – I wouldn't call it a wave, but we have some new players coming on the horizon that should be, you know, a bigger part of our roster construction. And you saw a lot of those guys last year. David Dahl coming back from a couple years of you know, being a little banged up. You know, hopefully we'll be at full strength and give us a full season in the big leagues. Ryan McMahon. Garrett Hampson, you know, those two fellas on the position player side come, you know, to the forefront of maybe having an impact. Pat Valleca bouncing back, you know, from a year that was a little bit up and down for him. Tapia, I think, will be in the mix. So, you know, these guys have been to the big leagues. They've shown at times, you know, major league performance that could indicate that, you know, better performance is on the way. So that's what, you know, we're looking at from those fellas.
But it looks like, we don't know, but Adam Savino coming out of a career year as a free agent now, if he weren't to come back to the Rockies,
right.
How do you see the back end of your bullpen? I know it's still early on.
Right.
Well,
he was a big piece for sure. He pitched at a level that, you know, really helped us win games from, you know, the start of the year to the end. You know, we have a number of guys that we think can bounce back from off years. Shaw, McGee, you know, to name those guys right up front. I think their performance will be key. You know, they've done it before. You know, Oberg pitched very well. Son Wano pitched well for us when we got him. You know, hopefully a couple of younger guys, Estevez, DJ Johnson, who we saw. So, I mean, you know, we have some guys that we think if we do not have Otto, that these guys can step in and perform. Not unusual. You know, you look at a lot of relief pitchers in general, their career path. You've seen some variability. That was sort of, the surprising thing with Shaw was that, the consistency that he had in Cleveland for 5 years. So to have an off year, lends me to believe that he'll bounce back. So, but that's not uncommon for a lot of relief pitchers. And that's been documented by a lot of, front offices. So, that's what we're hoping for from those two guys. But, we feel pretty good, obviously, about, Wade, where he is. I think Oberg made great strides. But, whether we, stand pat with those guys that we have, we feel pretty good about it. Dunn has a chance to come back after a surgery, to make an impact. Chris Russin, pitched probably – not to the level of expectation, but I thought found his way a little bit at the end of the year. So, he's a big example of a bounce back for sure. Right? Yeah. Babe was pretty good down and in, Tim. That breaking ball coming down and into him, he might be able to get that at Yankee Stadium or at Coors Field if Babe played at Coors. But, I think the record speaks for itself. Babe was a pretty good hitter.
Was that your breaking ball down and maybe you got well or
Babe's? I once threw a pretty good slider down away to Babe. That he had a pretty good swing on. He was a tough out for me. For the most part, I felt pretty comfortable against left-handed hitters. But, Babe was always a challenge for me. Right. Sure. Well, I mean, we'll see going forward. But I think that, I like the creativeness of the thinking of, those of us in this game, from, the people who are making hires. I think that it shows that, it's not a closed box. It's open for, whoever might have a skill set that a certain team is looking for or to give it a shot. And I think that's great. Yeah, Kim. Right. Right. In general, I wouldn't say it's a tough question, but it's really open-ended. But, for me, I think, and I'll say this, as long as I'm in this game, I think from a coaching perspective, I think there's a teaching component that I think is real. So the coaches that I have, I want them to be regarded as teachers. I want them to teach our players. I think there's a leadership component that comes with a good coach. The ability to, to individually lead men or as a group, lead a group. And I think there's an aspect of coaching that is motivational, to be able to motivate players, inspire players. So those three aspects, I think, the teacher, leader, motivator. I look at the qualities of that person as a coach. So if they have those, that's sort of the baseline of where I go from. And there's, also the, the knowledge, the credibility that they, where they've been to, to be able to get through to, to get through to players. Yeah, I think there's, the interaction and the collaboration of a coaching staff is vital. But I do think the diversity also of each coach is important too. But you know, as there's a collectiveness to us that you know, seven or eight guys as a coaching, a big league coaching staff, you know, there every day with the players, that unit has to be together. Yes.
If he were to get that job, what do you think he would bring, seeing as how he has been in a similar situation with the man?
Yeah. Well, Mike's a very good baseball man. I think he has I think he sees the game in a way that lends itself to, being very practical, but yet I think he's creative too. I think he has a good way with people. He has a good way with players. I think players respond to him. He's easy to be around. So in that regard, the interaction with ownership, front office, players, media, I think he's very well schooled in all that. And, for me, he has those qualities. So, if the Orioles go in that direction, I think they've made a good hire. Right. Right. As a manager or in any leadership position, I think you have to be really current with what's evolving. I think you have to be aware of what's happening in the game. Do you change as a person? No. I mean, do you change in who you are, on a day-to-day basis? No. I think there's some principles that we all have about how to lead and what we do in our sport to get the most out of our players and the most out of our team. But, what has changed is, I think that the front office dynamic has changed from, my first year in 2007 and even going back to when I was with the Angels in 2000, when I really became, part of a coaching staff. So these last 18 years, we've seen, the front office expansion of just people in the offices from, the general manager to the many assistant GMs and, all the people who are surrounding the GMs, the different departments, now the analytics departments, strength and conditioning, the medical staff. I mean, this is it's a much bigger group of people on the baseball ops side. Even the coaching staff, has expanded to, assistant pitching coach, assistant hitting coaches, eighth and ninth coaches, across the board. So with that, I think, what has changed is your ability to manage all that and how we interact with all those different departments that are growing and being able to utilize all those departments, in the present. Of everything that is happening, but I think that is what's changed. And I do think way back when there was only one time you met with the media per day. Now it's two, potentially three. Yeah. Well, I hope it's not as last year. I truly mean that because Bruce is, he's great for the game because he's a great manager. I think, historically, what he's done in his entire career and more recently, with the Giants winning three world championships, that is fantastic work. That's hard. I mean, it's hard to win one, let alone three. And he's done it. But my relationship with Bruce has, especially the last number of years, has become a little closer. We've socialized more, doing some things in the off season together with other guys. But you know, his impact has been a big one, I think, in the game, because I think a lot of other managers have looked at Bruce to see how he's done things. And for me, there's been in my career, and I'll go back to my days with the Angels when he was managing the Padres, there's been no better in-game manager strategically than Bruce. I always felt as though when the game started, there was never going to be a mistake on his side. And there were many times when, you know, I thought we were going to be in a pretty good position to pinch hit or a pitching change, and but I wasn't. So he's very good in that regard. And I think he brings a, you know, I think there's an old school sturdiness to Bruce and a grittiness and toughness that I admire that I think is natural and genuine. And it's good stuff, man. He's a good guy. I think that's the main thing.
But this offseason, I don't know if you're tinkering around, left around with the potential lineup or defensive configurations. And if so, has that looked a little any different than what it did last year?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we, you know, like I said, there's going to be a little bit of a turnover in our roster. And I do think there'll be some new additions. And I think, you know, like we said, there'll be some younger guys who are going to get more of an opportunity to play. So, you know, we'll have, you know, the rest of this offseason prior to spring training to, you know, to think about, you know, some of these things in earnest. You know, when our team assembles in spring training, you know, we'll be able to look at it more closely. But I think it's natural to start thinking about those things for sure. But until you really have your team, I think that's when it really starts.
Follow up on that briefly. In center field, particularly this last year, we talked
right
a little bit before about whether Charlie would eventually
right
move to a corner. Is that something that
yeah
has been given more seriously?
Yeah, we've talked about that with our group and amongst ourselves. And also you know, with Charlie, I think he knows that at some point, you know, there might be a move to the corner, you know, at some point in his career. So to your question, yes. I'm sorry? You know, we have a few options for sure. You know, David Dahl could play center. Charlie could play center. Don't forget Ian Desmond made the All-Star team in 2016 with the Texas Rangers as a center fielder. And, you know, Ian, you know, grew up as a center of the diamond player. He's very comfortable in the middle of the diamond. So that's a possibility as well. You know, I think with, you know, with David Trace, it could be anywhere, but, you know, center field, you know, suits David, as do the corners. But in our park, you know, from, and this is even from the other side of the field when I was, you know, playing the Rockies, I think center field and left field are two very important defensive positions. Left field in our park is big. And to have a guy with, you know, center field skill set to play left, I think, is really important. Yeah. Well, you know, last year we felt really good about, you know, our rotation based on what we saw in 17. You know, this year we feel the same, you know, with Herman and Kyle and John and Chad, Tyler, Antonio, Jeff Hoffman, I think hopefully bounces back. You know, Peter Lambert's a year older, touch AAA. He's getting closer to making an impact too. You know, there's a couple guys who are in AA that are making some noise. So, we feel pretty good about our group of starters, and we've been fortunate about the health of these fellas, right? I mean, they've there's only a couple rotations that have made their starts like our guys have, and we haven't really had to gone deep into the the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th starter. I mean, we've been our guys have went to the post, which is what you need, and it's been a big part of our success. But we feel good about our guys, and with some of these younger guys emerging or getting closer, that helps the entire group. But as far as like guys pushing to be in the rotation, I mean, our guys are so competitive that they don't need to be pushed. I think there's there's a natural great competition amongst our guys to pitch well and to go out there and perform. So I never worry about our guys in that regard, but it's good to have some strength in numbers in case something does go, awry.
But do you remember the first time thought to or were told to cover your mouth during a mountain conversation?
No, I don't. And I'm not sure I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so
I'm one of the, I.
So you've never done that?
No, I don't think I ever have.
Okay. So
if there's a lip reader, I'm in trouble. That might be the 10th coach, lip reader.
Does everybody in baseball seem more paranoid now than
yeah,
played?
For sure. I think there's a lot of inherent paranoia going on, and we've all talked about that as far as because of technology, number of cameras, scouting, people really. Scouting the other teams from a different variety of perspectives, the camera technology, has really, made advances in the ability to, maybe get some sensitive information.
Hey, buddy, you know, Nolan Arenado, obviously,
yeah,
going into a contract
here. Sure. Well, no. Do I want him back? Absolutely, of course. I think from my perspective, I think that Nolan's is well aware of our feelings, and I'll speak for everybody. The coaching staff, players, Jeff, Dick. I mean, we'd love to have Nolan is a longtime Rocky. Do I think to your first question? Do I think it will affect Nolan? I don't think so. I think he's, I truly think that, the best place for him all the time is on the field. That's where he feels most comfortable. And I think that will continue to happen. I think his performance will be fine. Will I get involved? Probably not that's something for, I think that's a, really a small circle. That's Dick and Jeff and Nolan and Nolan's representative, and probably and the people that Nolan is closest to. So I think that's a pretty small group that, when you really get down to it, those are the people in those conversations. Innings pitched, yeah, isn't that great? Yes, I'm so proud of our guys. That's, you can't say that enough. Keep talking about it. That just goes to show, the talent that they have and how they pitched last year. They were good. They were really good. And, through thick and thin, there was never, there Trace, and you've heard me say, we don't talk about it. You know, it's a baseball field, and there's a game being played by two teams, but is pitching, an altitude a real thing? Yeah, absolutely, it's real. But, and I've said this before, that when the game's over, somebody's going to win. So we just got to outplay the other team. We got to outpitch them and out-hit them and out-defend them. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I mean, to what degree? I can't tell you that. But, there's still room in there. I mean, there's a change-up in there that I think's coming. I think there's always the fastball command improvement that all pitchers strive for. I think there's a breaking ball consistency in there. I think there's a level of, going from the bullpen to that first inning where, you're more calm and poised because of experience that I think is going to happen. But, he's a good one. He's a good one. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, again, I mean, you've heard me say this before. I'm a big believer in passing the test of time. I think Kyle's 2 years. He's shown, a consistency. I know the second half of 17, was maybe a little variable, but man, from the first part of May until the end of the season, he was as consistent as any pitcher in the big leagues. Now, the challenge for Kyle is to, continue that performance, and I'm very confident that he can do it. I'm confident that that he believes he can do it. So again, like Herman and a lot of young pitchers, there's still growth there. I mean, we saw the changeup make great strides. I think there's still a little bit of growth there with the changeup usage and the consistency of the breaking ball. Again, fastball command. So, but passing the test of time is something that, I think all players strive for. And then you get in those conversations that you're talking about. But he's on his way. He's good too.